I had a really hard time wrapping my head around why reintegration was related to mental health at all. And I think it's because my mind was so used to focusing on a reactive side of things with mental health that I wasn't thinking outside of the box of how we can be proactive. Because to me, it felt like such a huge burden to even. Where do we even start, right? Like some of these people that come into the military come in with trauma from childhood and trauma from prior experiences. And some of these people have trauma within their first few weeks and months and years in the military. And so, in my mind, it felt so overwhelming to even think of the idea of how can we be proactive.
Welcome to Your Story Doesn't End Here, the mental health podcast of military and veterans who refuse to be silenced. I'm your host, Rachel, and my mission with this podcast is to be a voice for those who don't have a voice, bring awareness to mental health issues, provide value and solutions, and to change the culture when it comes to mental health within the DoD organizations.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for coming back for another episode. It's been a couple weeks since I've done a solo episode, and I wanted to just give a update on where things are at, what's been going on, how things have been. I know the last couple episodes, a few episodes back, we had talked about some things that I was doing in my community. And so I'm really excited to give you guys an update on that and just kind of talk through some personal feelings about how life has been. I want to start off by saying that this time of year is rough for me every single year just because seasonal depression kicks in. And I live in Washington State, and thankfully, I don't have to deal with a ton of snow and that gloominess like when I lived in the Midwest. But there is that rainy, gloomy season every year that really hits me hard. And it can make it incredibly difficult as an entrepreneur, as a mom, as someone who's juggling multiple things to really stay on top of things. And one thing that I'll say that I really, really appreciate from the people that are in my circle now is that I have found myself surrounding myself with people who are very honest about their feelings and very honest about why they maybe didn't show up or didn't do something that they said that they were going to do or had to back out last minute on something. And don't get me wrong, like obviously I'm not hanging out with people that are flakes for every single thing all the time. But when someone tells me, hey, I can't show up to, example, a podcast recording, or I can't do this because my mental health has been really bad, or I have ADHD and it's really hard for me to wrap my mind around things. And there's just a lot going on right now in my head, a lot of head clutter. I guess not everyone probably appreciates that, but I definitely do because it helps me feel like I'm not alone. And I found myself oftentimes throughout my life lying about things and reasons why I was late to something or reasons why I didn't get something done. And it makes it really hard to take personal, radical responsibility for something when we can't be honest with ourselves. And that starts with being honest with the people around us. And so I just want to put out that if you're one of those people that tells someone like, hey, listen, I didn't show up for this, or I didn't get this done all the way, or I need a little bit more of an extension on this deadline because of my mental health, I am one of those people that really appreciates that. So thank you. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for helping break the stigma in that aspect. I want to kind of segue the conversation a little bit here into talking about not feeling alone. Because when I talk about the stuff that I'm doing in my community and the changes that I am taking such a huge part in when it comes to military and veteran mental health, I found this theme throughout everything. And that theme is people not wanting to feel alone, looking for someone that can relate to us. And when I reflect back on my own life and really just anything, anytime I do a Google search, anytime I have a conversation with someone about something that I'm feeling or something that I just need to talk through, because I'm very much a talker, a lot of times I think deep down inside, I'm looking for validation and I'm looking to not feel alone because that extra little step, that little like oomph of knowing that it's not just me and I'm not crazy can sometimes help push me to that next action step that I need to continue to move forward. And I know that can sound weird to some people sometimes because not everyone needs that, but it's something that I've recognized in myself. And I think that as we have come out of this global pandemic and all the crazy things happening in the world, wars, et cetera, that we are finding that us as human beings, we're seeking to be connected more than ever. And that's just who we are as human beings. We want to be connected. We're never meant to be alone. And so just a lot of pondering that I've been doing on that aspect. I read an article the other day on LinkedIn. John Cordle, if you know who he is, incredible human being. I connected with him on LinkedIn, I want to say a year ago, and he had posted it. And the article itself was talking about a sailor suicide. I believe it was from 2022. I didn't get through reading the entire article because it was incredibly triggering for me. And the reason it was triggering is because this sailor that had taken his life prior to taking his life was diagnosed with an adjustment disorder. And how this ties into not feeling alone and validation and all those things that I just talked about a few minutes ago is that I felt when I was active duty and I was serving that getting diagnosed with an adjustment disorder was such a blanket diagnosis for so many people in the military, or maybe it's just the Navy. I'm not sure about other branches, but just a way to pass someone off on the lowest level possible, still give them, you know, that little carrot dangling on a stick of, okay, well, we'll give you something because you came into mental health, but we're not going to validate what we actually think you might have because A, either maybe we're not qualified to do that, or maybe we just don't want to open up that can of worms to tell you that you might have PTSD or depression or anxiety. And what's really interesting to me is that when I separated from service, and some of you may know this from other episodes, is that I was diagnosed with PTSD. And hearing that was like a breath of fresh air, because I finally felt that validation that someone was recognizing that I wasn't just having a hard time adjusting to something. You know, an adjustment disorder, I feel like, isn't something that lasts a really, really long time. And maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not a professional. But I feel like, you know, if I was having a hard time adjusting to the military, I wouldn't have served in the military for 6 years with an adjustment disorder, right? At some point, I probably would have been processed out of the military prior to that. Now, just to kind of caveat to my personal story, it was added on the generalized anxiety portion. And the only reason that that was added on is because I went LIMDU and they couldn't put me LIMDU with just an adjustment disorder. So they had to add on something else for medical paperwork reasons. And so, you know, I think if we're talking solutions on a reactive side of things, when it comes to mental health, I think just helping people understand themselves and somewhere in there is that validation piece. I think that alone would just make a world of a difference for people that are like me that just need someone to be like, okay, you're not crazy. Let's explore this idea that you maybe have anxiety, and maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong, but let's explore it together and see. Let's explore this idea that maybe you have depression or bipolar or something other than this blanket diagnosis, so that in this, you know that not only I as your provider care, but I want you to know that you are not alone and that I hear you and I am validating you so that you feel heard. Kind of went off on a bit of a tangent there, but I'll be completely honest with you. When I do my solo episodes, I don't actually plan out an agenda of speaking topics. Usually I'll have an idea that pops in my head while I'm like driving randomly one day or something. And I'm like, oh, that'd be a really cool episode. This one I've actually been thinking about for like a week or two. But, you know, a lot of what I talk about most of the time is on that reactive side of mental health. And I think it's very important to have reactive programs and systems in place, because we recognize that suicides are still happening, that mental health is an issue within the military, within the veteran population, even within the civilian population. But what was really interesting to me when I started to explore this idea of reintegration and transition with Vic and Maurice and Beth and Sheila, huge key players in the Save a Life event that took place in Oak Harbor on the 30th of September, I didn't start out with the idea of wanting to include reintegration and transition as part of this conversation. And I really wanted to focus initially my event on the film, the Stranger at Home film, which, by the way, I will plug them really quick. That releases nationally on PBS on Veterans Day. If you check out my LinkedIn, I just reposted something about it on that page. So make sure you check out and support that film because it's absolutely incredible what they've done. But when I first met Beth and I first started talking about doing this event in Oak Harbor to really highlight military mental health, the idea was to, just create that awareness around mental health and have these conversations because I feel that that is important. It was somewhere down the line a few months later that we had that conversation about, okay, this awareness is great, but people are going to want to know what the next step is. What's the action piece? And I didn't really know how to answer that question at first. And that's around that time Beth had introduced me to Maurice and Vic with the San Diego Veterans Coalition. And they had this incredible blueprint surrounded under this CMVR model. I mean, there's a lot more to it than just the CMVR, but we'll call it the CMVR model for purposes of discussion. And it was really ingrained in reintegration and transition. And I had a really hard time wrapping my head around why reintegration was related to mental health at all. And I think it's because my mind was so used to focusing on a reactive side of things with mental health that I wasn't thinking outside of the box of how we can be proactive. Because to me, it felt like such a huge burden to even, where do we even start, right? Like some of these people that come into the military come in with trauma from childhood and trauma from prior experiences. And some of these people have trauma within their first few weeks and months and years in the military. And so in my mind, it felt so overwhelming to even think of the idea of how can we be proactive. But when I really started to see the pieces fall into place of transition and reintegration, it made so much sense to me. And so I want to spend a little bit of time talking about that because it's so important. And I wish this was something that was implemented all across the nation, at every military base across the globe, because it really is changing lives. And so what has been created around the CMVR model, there's a couple different things. And I'm going to pull up my copy of the CMVR model here to reference so that I don't forget any major steps. And I'm not going to go through everything here today, but I want to highlight some things that I think would be really, really useful tools. Now, if you have listened to my podcast that I did with Maurice, he actually goes through a lot of this stuff pretty in depth. And so from there, you can check out the CMVR model. You can check out what they're doing on the transition side and the reintegration side, and learn a little bit more about it. And I'm always happy to connect people if you feel that this is something that would be valuable in your community, if you're around a military base, anything like that. So always feel free to reach out to me in that aspect. So a few things that stood out to me, just a couple highlights that I want to touch on, because again, I think that they're important, is first of all, starting the transition process more than 12 months out. I think that a lot of times on the active duty side, we're told, start working on TAPS and transition things when you're within your 12 months. And what I have found in talking to people that work with these transitioning service members is that within 12 months, you're already behind schedule if you're starting some of these things that should have been started prior to that. And so the first resource that I want to reiterate on is the Managing Your Transition Timeline app. It is incredibly valuable because it takes all the transition pieces and it puts them into a checklist that is in the palm of your hand. And if you're married or, you have a spouse that wants to be part of that too, there's a spouse checklist and they can also keep track of the service members checklist to make sure that everything's getting done on time. And so I think that alone is worth its weight in gold. It is free, by the way. And it's something that I could have used when I was separating because the transition process, there's so much going on. I'm grateful that I was LIMD when I separated and I had that time to really focus on what I needed to do and process mentally a lot of it. But I still think that there's a lot of pieces that I missed, that having just that extra checklist there to help would have been incredibly valuable for me. And I've heard nothing but good things about it. So that's the first thing. And I can link the website for that in the show notes for anyone that wants to check it out. But incredible resource. If you're not transitioning, if you're already a veteran, or if you're still active and planning on staying in for a while, just share these things with people that you know that are transitioning or going to be transitioning soon. Because the more we help each other out, then the better we can be on the veteran civilian side, and the more we can support each other in each other's mental health and just overall well-being, because these things are incredibly proactive, remember. So the second thing I want to talk about is the reboot workshop. And I'm not going to get too much into that. Maurice talks about it more in depth in the episode that we did together. It does an incredible job. And again, I can always make those connections. But what really stood out to me about reboot is this concept of rewiring the mindset. So understanding that when we join the military, it is a rewiring process of our brains to serve in the military. Now, when we get out of the military, no one is making sure that we rewire our mindset to be civilians or to no longer be in the military. And if you've listened to the past couple of episodes that I've done, and you understand that process of, you know, it's literally like dopamine hits when we're serving, these constant dopamine hits of like, oh, good job, you get an award, good job, you volunteered so many hours, good job, you ranked up, you know, it's constant like chasing something all the time. And when we get out, we no longer have that. And so it really is so much of a mental transition that no one's really talking about. And so what I love about the reboot workshop is that it covers the mental side of things that is so incredibly important, and it really lays the foundation for everything. And so the next piece that I want to talk on is the ETS sponsorship and Onward Ops. And with ETS sponsorship and Onward Ops, it gives veterans the opportunity to connect with a sponsor that is on the civilian side. And what I found just kind of doing some digging on the Onward Ops site is that the sponsor can be a civilian or can be a prior service member. And so this is a great way for community members to really connect and help out with that reintegration process within their communities. And you don't have to have any kind of CMVR model or anything set up to do this. You can go to the Onward Ops website and you can sign up for it. And I believe there's training that you have to go through if you want to be a sponsor. If you want to connect with a sponsor, go to that website and check it out. The ETS sponsorship program is fairly new, but I love the idea of it because, again, it's facilitating that warm handoff to a community and to the civilian side of life, which can be incredibly overwhelming for a lot of service members, especially as, you know, we kind of quote unquote come down from our service time. We mentally have that decompression time, and just to have that support is absolutely incredible. And so I'm so grateful to know that these programs out there exist. Next thing that I want to talk about is the weekly musters. And that is something that I have not done yet. I am planning on going to the next one. And it's just like a check-in session every week, just to make sure that, you know, you're doing okay. And it's a virtual thing. And to me, what I love about it is that it keeps that community going. And it's a community of people who legitimately care. And you don't find that a lot in the world these days. You know, I think there's still definitely tons of people who do care. But with all the craziness and negativity and all these things going on, you know, a lot of people are very much focused on themselves, and that's okay. But it's also important to find these groups of people who do legitimately care about your well-being. And so that's where the weekly muster comes into play. And I just think that that is absolutely incredible. The CMVR itself, I'm not going to get too in depth with it. What I will say is that in the community of Oak Harbor, I am currently working with several people in the community to get a CMVR established. CMVR, if you don't remember, stands for Center for Military and Veteran Reintegration. And And it takes this, what the San Diego Veterans Coalition calls Sea of Goodwill. And it takes all these different organizations, whether they're for-profit, nonprofit, these groups that are there to help people. And it really just ties everything together. And what's so cool about this is that there's so many different nonprofits out there that are designed to help veterans, right? And everyone has their niche. And so when you take all these different organizations together and you bring them together in this powerful collaborative setting where we can work together, we can refer each other, we can help each other out, we meaning the organizations, because I don't have a nonprofit organization myself at this time, but there's so much power behind that. Because now we are maximizing the impact. And that's really what it's all about. It's about the impact. And so circling back around to what I said earlier about the proactive side of things, when we successfully transition and reintegrate service members from the military back into civilian life, and we set them up for the greatest success, right? Where now, you know, homelessness isn't as much of an issue. Unemployment is not as much of an issue. Mental health crises, if that's the right word, are not as much of an issue. One thing that was brought up in the presentation that was done at Save a Life is that maybe it's not just PTSD, but it's like stress from transition. Not to say that PTSD doesn't exist, because I 100% believe that PTSD exists, but I think there's more to PTSD than what we see on the surface. And that, yeah, the transition can be incredibly stressful for a lot of people, and rightfully so, because it's literally like an entire identity change from what some of us have done for, you know, up to 30 years. That's a large chunk of our lives. I mean, you think about the things that people accomplish in 30 years of their life and the things that people accomplish in even a year or 4 years of their life. And so to do something for so long, really any extended period of time, and then to change that, it's a lot for people to handle. And so I don't have one doubt in my mind that PTSD is absolutely attributed with the transition, if that transition out of the military is not a successful one, and successful meaning supported, having the tools, the people, the organization set in place, and understanding that when we join the military, you know, everything is kind of facilitated for us. You know, we have sponsors, we have programs and systems set in place, and granted, they might not always flow the greatest, right? It's not always the most well-oiled machine. It might be a little bit of a rusty machine, depending on the command that you're at, but it still works, right? Like, we get the job done. And then the issue when we transition out is that now all of a sudden you're thrown to the wolves, for lack of a better term, and you're on your own. And the freedom sounds so amazing when you're serving. It's like, you know, I can't wait to be a civilian. I can't wait to not have to follow these rules anymore. But I just remember it being so overwhelming. It was like too much at once, which is really crazy to think back and say. And I've been out for 2 years now, and I still struggle with some of these things. And that's where I say that these programs would have been incredibly helpful for me. And so I'm so excited to see these tangible changes taking place in Whidbey Island, in Oak Harbor, and right where Naval Air Station Whidbey Island is rooted. And people really struggle up here. You know, I talked at the beginning of the episode about how I have seasonal depression. I'm not alone in having seasonal depression. And some of these people come from sunny states. Some of these people come from places where they're not used to this kind of isolation. And if you're familiar with Whidbey Island, it really is kind of an isolated part of Washington. We are connected to the mainland. Like, you can drive on the north end of the island, or you can take the ferry off the south end of the island. It's not like we're like isolated, but it still is, you know, I mean, to get to what I call civilization, it's like 45 minutes to an hour plus away. Seattle, hour and a half to 2 hours away. And for some people, that's a huge, huge shift in environment. And environment is so important when it comes to how we feel, our mental health, our well-being. And it really just warms my heart to know that I'm finally able to take part in something that is so much bigger than me. And I say finally, you know, recognizing that I've been doing this podcast for it will be 2 years here coming up in a few weeks, I believe. I don't remember the date that I launched it, but I think it was November 2021. And the podcast has been absolutely incredible. It really has. And that action piece, though, I mean, that really ties everything together. And so that's what I'm working on in the community, though. That's kind of the results of the event Save a Life. There is going to be a virtual version of Save a Life for those of you who are out of the state of Washington and want to support and check it out. For those of you who were not able to make it to the event on Veterans Day, we're going to be doing a virtual screening of the event. So as I have more details about that, I will put it out on social media. So on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on the Facebook page, make sure you follow those. And that's where the information will be about that event. So please make sure you check it out and support the work that is being done to really fully support service members and veterans. On the other side of things, I have started to be more active in my community. I know I have alluded a few times in prior episodes to working on programs to really help with the active duty side of things, because I think that often active duty is forgotten and that active duty really does matter, and especially when it comes to mental health. And so one of those big pieces when it comes to changing the culture, which is a huge part of the mission of this podcast, is leadership. And so what I have began to do is be more active in my community. Story Shifters is what it's called. And the focus of that community is to really focus on leadership and building better leaders in the active duty community. Veterans are welcome to be a part of that community as well. That is a Facebook community. So I will make sure that I post the link in the show notes for that community for anyone who wants to join that. And then very soon here in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be launching some mentorship, one-on-one and group programs for people in the military who want to learn more about how to be a better leader. When I was serving myself, I started deep diving into studying these topics more towards the end of my service, but I feel that had I started to learn these things very early on in my career, that it really would have changed the way that I viewed my service and that I viewed myself as a leader, because you truly are a leader from day one, whether you are led to believe that or not. You are. There's always someone that looks up to you, whether you've been in a week and the person that is in the delayed entry program is looking up to you, or if you aren't even in yet, right? You're in the delayed entry program, but someone who has not joined the military and maybe they're a high schooler, they're looking up to you. And so if you view yourself as a leader in every situation that you're in and start learning the tools to really cultivate yourself as a leader, I really feel that it's going to make a huge impact on our military. And I'm hearing from people that are serving that the Navy, at least, and even other branches are finally starting to deep dive a little bit more into leadership and focusing more on leadership. And so that is a wonderful step in the right direction that I hope continues in the right direction. And there's a lot of other organizations that are doing incredible work on the leadership and the mental health side of things to support active duty as well. So stay tuned though for what I'm working on, and stay tuned for what is happening in Whidbey Island, in Oak Harbor. And if you know of any CMVRs in your community, or you want to start a CMVR, you're just intrigued on more information that maybe you can pass on to leaders of your community, please reach out. The email address for this podcast is yourstorydoesntendhere@gmail.com. You can also email podcast@ysdeh.com and let me know your thoughts. Let me know if you want to be connected to anyone. The goal here is really to change the culture when it comes to mental health within the DOD organizations. And that itself is going to be huge, huge, huge in saving lives and impacting active duty military families and veterans, and even the next generations that are coming up. And so, again, as always, I want to thank you all for supporting the podcast. Thank you to those who are part of the listener support program. And thank you for those of you who have just simply left a rating, a review, shared the podcast on your social media, told a friend about it. you know, I heard a few weeks back, someone had said that the podcast is pretty popular in their group or their circle, people that they knew. And, you know, I don't hear it a lot. Every once in a while, someone will reach out and tell me about an episode or something that really impacted them. But those kind of messages are what warm my heart so much and let me know that I'm doing the right thing here. And this truly is my passion. So thank you for allowing me the space to live my passion and my purpose and change lives. So make sure you follow the social media pages for those updates. Make sure you continue to share the podcast. If you have not left a rating and a review yet on Apple, please do. I think Spotify lets you rate as well. It just doesn't let you review. That's okay. It all helps. And a lot of that is free. I think everything I listed is free. So thanks again, guys, for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen in today. With your support, we are able to increase awareness of the mental health issues affecting service members and veterans today with the goal of creating positive change. If you got value from this episode, please take 30 seconds to subscribe and share this episode within your own network. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your mental health matters, and your story doesn't end here.